Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what's happening?
Not much, dude.
You're calling into the show remotely from a undisclosed location?
Yep.
Where are you at right now?
Very secretive location in New Jersey.
So you're back home for a wedding, right?
Yeah, I was actually back in Blacksburg, Virginia for a wedding and came up to New Jersey for the week. So, enjoying the humidity.
Yeah, I certainly don't miss that from the East Coast. All right, well, let's take a look. Olympics, obviously big news in the sporting world. Our two picks were, what do we have? We suggested United States overall medals, right?
Yep, which they have the lead right now. China was keeping it close, but once the track and field starts.
Oh, well, the one I'm looking at right now has China total medals at 73, United States 71.
Yeah, well, track and field's still going. A lot of the sprint events are going on as we speak, so.
Okay.
And China was pretty much a lock to get the gold in the hurdles, and their main guy got hurt in the prelims, so he's done.
Nice. That's what I like to hear. Now, we had also talked about taking the Dream Team, obviously, to win gold. Dream Team, what was it, minus 1,000?
Minus 1,000.
Now, we really should have taken this bet, because if you think about it, all right, you lay 10,000. Not that I have 10,000 to bet in the Olympics, but you lay 10,000 to win 1,000. I mean, there's a chance they don't win gold, but you would think they would at least get to the gold medal game. Am I right?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like, I mean.
So then you have a really awesome hedge opportunity, I think, where you could put up a decent amount. I'm sure whatever team they're playing, it would be a pretty big money line. I don't know. Well, I guess you would be, how would that work? So,
I don't think the money line? Yeah, I don't think it'd be a very good hedge, cause you'd have to.
Oh yeah, that's right, cause you're laying, yeah, I didn't really do the math correctly, cause you're laying 10,000 to win. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could put a little back on it. I was thinking you only had to recap 1,000, but really, yeah, you had to get the whole 10 grand back. All right, so don't listen to that advice. Have you actually watched a lot of the Olympics?
Yeah, I've been working from New Jersey. I've been throwing the iPad on like the live feeds during the day. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is weird. I wish there was now maybe I haven't really looked into it that much, but I wish there was an easier way to kind of I feel like I have no idea what Olympic event's going to be on when I turn on, you know?
Yeah, NBC, I mean, they have a lot of chance. I feel like their coverage kind of sucks. They force delays on some of the big events so they can broadcast them in prime time, like the big swimming, track, and gymnastic events.
Yeah, I felt like I haven't seen any of the Olympic basketball yet.
Yeah, I've been watching it. So the U.S. plays today at 5:15 Eastern. And that will probably be on, like, I think the basketball games have been on, like, MSNBC or NBC Sports.
All right. Well, I'll look that up and check them out. Well, Ryan, while we might not be able to post this in time, but just for strictly entertainment purposes, I'm going to bring up the a line here for the, okay, well, we got a, all right, let's just take a bet here anyway. I think it's going to be.
I haven't looked at the line. Hold on. Who are they playing, Australia?
Yeah, Australia men versus USA men.
I'm going to say the U.S. are favored by 23.5 points.
Wow, you are off by a lot, Ryan.
Really?
USA men are favored by 33 points.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know. Did you watch the last game versus Argentina?
I thought it was Lithuania that gave him. Wasn't Lithuania the last game they gave him trouble, or am I missing a game?
They played Argentina after that.
And how'd they do against Argentina?
It was a 1-point game at halftime, and then they just tried really hard on defense in the third quarter, and Kevin Durant went nuts. He hit a 3-pointer from 10 feet past the 3-point line. It was crazy.
All right. Now, Ryan, I'm not a guy to go against, America, and especially this men's team in the Olympics, but the Australia men plus 17.5 for the first half, that feels like a pretty solid line. Am I wrong?
You gotta be careful. I mean, I think they're probably capable of winning by 50 points. It's so easy for them to score and the 3-point line is so close.
Yeah, they do. They did fall in love with the threes. What, Carmelo had 10 three-pointers?
In that one game, Durant outscored Argentina with three-pointers alone in the third quarter in the last game.
So the over-under is 190. The over feels pretty solid on that, right? Because these guys don't like the men doesn't. How is the over 190 and the spread minus 33? That seems like that doesn't make sense.
I think, yeah. Well, I guess you're kind of hoping you're depending on Australia scoring like 70 points, 65 points.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing though. The men's team, they don't like to play defense, especially when they're up big. They're not going to, it turns, once they get up by a huge amount, it just turns into an all-star game.
I would be surprised if the men don't score 110 points. So.
Yeah, so you're looking at Australia to score 80? Is that that crazy?
It's 10-minute quarters, not 12.
Oh, that's right.
They've still put up points.
Now, does Australia have any NBA players?
They have Patty Mills, who was a star point guard for St. Mary's. You probably remember him from a couple of years ago in the tournament. Other than that, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they have any other NBA players. Let me pull that up real quick. But yeah, no, they're not a bad team, but they have a huge talent disadvantage.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, obviously we're putting together the best team in the world.
So yeah,
I mean,
they have Patty Mills is the only player who plays in the NBA. They have a couple guys who play, premier level Spanish basketball. One kid going to St. Mary's, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, so
I like that over.
All right, that over looks good. Over 190 and take the men laying 33.
Yeah, it's tough to do that, but why not? Sean, did you happen to catch the women's soccer game from the other day?
No, I heard there was. You lost me at soccer, but
yeah,
women's
soccer. Yeah, so I happened to watch it the whole game versus Canada, and it was probably one of the more exciting sports games I've watched in the past couple of years. Male or female.
That's what I heard. That it was a crazy game. America won 5-4, and it sounded like Canada got jobbed pretty hard on a couple calls.
I'd say they were definitely questionable. But the way they won, scoring with like 30 seconds left in overtime, was pretty awesome.
Well, they said that I guess they called a handball, and they said it would be like equivalent to calling like Kobe Bryant with palming the ball with like, you know, 10 seconds left in NBA Finals Game 7.
I didn't have a problem with the handball because it actually hit two people's hands. I had a bigger issue. The reason they got the handball is they called the goalie for stalling before that and gave them an indirect kick from inside the box, which is a really, really strange and rare call.
Well, and the Canadian team was calling out the officials prior to the game as well. Also, I guess one of the U.S. players, I forget her name, was saying that she had noticed the goalkeeper felt like she was stalling, so she had been counting out the goalkeeper how long they were holding the ball. She would stand right next to the ref and count it out, 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000. And finally, when later on in the game when they called the penalty, she said she had got up to, you know, 10-1000. So she did a standing 10 count for the ref to hear.
Yes. See, that, Sean, that's why it's important to always talk to the referees like I do in our rec league games.
Yeah, but these it also just seems to find a way of backfiring every single time, because in the first half maybe we're getting a couple calls, you get into it with the ref, and in the second half we do not get a call to save our life.
That's your opinion.
All right, enough Olympics talk. Hard Knocks.
Before we leave Olympics, sure. did you watch Usain Bolt just dominate?
No, I didn't. I gotta watch the highlight of that. But yeah, he was a minus 300 pick going off at a start, which is, seems like a pretty, in hindsight, that didn't sound like you're laying too much for a guy who seemingly was a lot.
Yeah, he was minus 500, but he lost in the Jamaican qualification meet, and he hadn't looked good, but he just came out and just sent a message. He's pretty, and then I just watched him qualify for the semis in the 200, and he literally jogged the last 100. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, he's a crazy, insane athlete, and yeah, it's just impressive. All right. So let's see. Let's get over to football. Obviously, tragedy struck the Philadelphia Eagles. Garrett Reed, son of Andy Reed, passed away at the age of 29. Looks like Vic and the Eagles are supposedly just came out. They're dedicating the season to Garrett. It's just a real bummer. I mean, it sounded like, you know, he had had his obvious run-ins with the law and drug problems dating back to, like, 2007. He was in and out of prison going up to 2009. Supposedly, it had sounded like he had basically kind of cleaned up his act, and they had offered him some sort of internship job, basically helping out with the strength and conditioning coaches, kind of like a, you know, a low-level internship assistant position, and he was planning on going back to school in the fall, and seemed like he had it all put together, but it sounds like he relapsed and died.
So it was drug-related?
Well, yeah, it didn't... I haven't seen any autopsy, but I guess Andy Reid... alluded to it in his comments. He said Garrett lost his battle, something like that, the language where it was pretty obvious that it had to do with his drug use.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, hey, what are you going to do? Tough one for the Eagles, tough to lose a kid like that, and especially, you know, younger guy, 29. All right, moving on, Hard Knocks kicked off last night on HBO, the great... Yeah, it is great because you can sucker chicks into watching a thing about football. I don't know. You said you weren't able to see it, but Chad Johnson obviously trying to crowbar his way into the show as frequently as he can. I don't know if you know this, but apparently when you change your name like that, you have to buy out all the jerseys. So
that's great.
all the Ocho Cinco jerseys he has to buy back from the NFL. That's, I guess, part of the agreement of allowing you to switch your name, is that now he has to buy back all the Ocho Cinco. I think he buys them back from the NFL. I didn't sound like fans get a refund. I think it's just the NFL. But yeah, so he's trying to, you know, he's just I don't know. I don't hate Ocho Cinco, but he is one of these guys. Like, it's much more funny the guys who are unintentionally funny or weird or interesting that they find and end up tracking. But Chad Johnson is just trying to put on a show so much. I don't know. I kind of get irritated. What's your take on Chad Johnson?
I like him. I don't see why he should have to buy back those jerseys.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really
not profiting from that.
I don't know. Yeah, you think the NFL? Well, I think it's just the NFL wants to deter people from doing this. You know, a guy like changes his name every year. Fans get pissed off. Yeah. I think it's just, they're just trying to slow that down. They don't want a guy to, like, you know, they don't want everyone changing their name to, like, touchdown or, you know what I mean?
I agree.
I don't think they want it to turn into, like, the XFL where guy, you know, he hate me and all these other, like, weird nicknames and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They want to try to keep it classy, right? And you know how the old guard gets when they see guys, you know, doing touchdown celebrations. There's a very conservative lot of NFL fans that don't care for any of this nonsense, so I think the NFL's trying to deter that on all sense. But yeah, Hard Knocks looks to be another... I mean, you can't go wrong. You can't ever go wrong with Hard Knocks. Big story, obviously, coming out of Miami is the quarterback battle. Although I feel bad for the people in Hard Knocks who have to somehow act like David Garrard has a legit shot of winning this starting job.
Right.
That takes some creative editing.
Although... Well, everything I'm reading is saying he's leading the battle right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I just kind of counted him out because he's, you know, old, coming off back surgery, whatever. And he didn't seem, just based briefly on his profile, it didn't seem like he had a huge fire in his belly. But they only covered up to, like, the first few days in practice. I mean, obviously, he is the veteran there. I thought Matt Moore was kind of a lock. I don't know. Like, we've talked about this all the time on the podcast. I think Matt Moore, underrated. I think he's like top 15, top 20 starting quarterback in the NFL right now. Maybe I'm overestimating him a little bit, but he strikes me as a legit starter.
I like him. I think he could definitely be a legit starter. It doesn't seem like he's gotten a fair shake.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the owner wants to make a move, wants to create some noise. I think that's why brought Hard Knocks in. And, Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess Tannehill, they were saying, looked pretty solid.
I feel like we touched on this, but I feel like buying that Dolphins under is pretty decent value, just because they're probably going to start the wrong guy at quarterback for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, what's the season prop for the Dolphins?
7.5.
Wow. And is the
that's a lot of games.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, and that's a tough division, I think, especially with Buffalo obviously stepping up. I mean, you have two games against this Buffalo defensive line that seems vastly improved, and I think regardless of who it is, if it's Garrard, I think he's gonna struggle to move around the pocket, and if it's Tannehill, I think he might struggle picking up the bit, just dealing with being a first year quarterback. So yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah, I think the real losers in the AFC East are the Jets right now. But even the Jets, they have enough talent to put together a decent team. I just think that Tebow situation is such a debacle. I don't see them really making any noise.
Yeah, I mean, there's already been like two fights at training camp. I don't know. I'm not expecting anything from the Jets this year.
No, not at all. Yeah, I don't see the Jets. I still like that New England under. I don't know. I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about some places it was the over-under for New England win totals was like 12.5.
Yeah, I like the over, Sean.
The over in New England?
Go look at their schedule. Actually, I'll look at their schedule right now, and we can we can talk through it. Because I felt the same way as you before I looked at the schedule. I looked at the schedule, and then I was like, all right, I can't find four losses. It's pretty remarkable how it seems like every year they have a favorable schedule. All right, Green, you ready?
Yes.
All right, so they start the season at Tennessee.
Okay.
Then they get Arizona at home.
Okay.
At Baltimore, at Buffalo, Denver at home, at Seattle, Jets at home, and at St. Louis. I think worst case scenario there, they are, 6-2?
Yeah, that's a strong, maybe 5-3.
And then they bye week, right in the middle of the season. Then they go Buffalo at home, Indy at home, at Jets, at Dolphins, Texans at home, Niners at home, at Jacksonville, Miami at home. And that worst case there feels like, 6-2. I mean, even if, for me, the worst case scenario was 6-2 in the front half, 6-2 in the back half, then you lose. But honestly, their only tough game for me is at Baltimore.
I disagree. I think San Francisco. The Texans. I think the Bills
at home though. And the thing is, they have them at home. I'm not worried about those games. I'll take the over all day.
I'm gonna hammer that under, man. I really like that under, to be honest. I mean, 12 wins is crazy. And the thing is, it's such a high number that if it gets down to it, if they win 12 games, then you can just start hedging against your bet.
All right, we'll talk when they're 7-1 going into bye week.
Nah, I don't know. I'm not predicting the Patriots have a bad season. I just like my chances at 12-4. I'm not going to bet a team going 13-3. You know, the way the NFL works, that to me seems crazy.
I'm also not as high on the Bills as you. I think their division stinks. I'd be surprised if they don't go 6-0 in their division.
I think I predict the Bills will beat the Patriots in Buffalo.
Oh, all right.
No, I mean, they always play the Patriots.
Well,
tough. They've even beat
Vegas
them
for that game.
They've even beat the Patriots when they've had lesser talent. They always play the Patriots tough. I think this new and improved defensive line, if there's one way to beat Tom Brady, as your New York football Giants know, Ryan, it is a great defensive line getting pressure up in his face like that. So I think, you know, all things even, I think as long as they stay healthy, and a lot of that I'm basing on the fact that I think
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think, is a decent quarterback, and that drop off. I'm buying into the shoulder injury hype. I think that was a big part of why he fell off so hard last year.
All right.
Because it wasn't just bad decision making per se. It was, you could see he lost some zip on the ball. Assuming he's come back healthy, I'll have to watch a little bit in preseason. But I'm one of the guys who's kind of high on the Bills, to be honest. Well,
speaking of preseason,
speaking of preseason, we both lost our first bet of the year, the Arizona Cardinals. I had a money line; you had them getting 3.
Oh, I also had the under, like I discussed. I will be taking the underdog and the under in every first week game.
So you started off a solid 1-1. I had the Arizona money line. Oh man, I don't know if you watched the game. First off, Kevin Cobb starts off the game. First drive, the Saints drive, go down the field, not a problem, put it in, easy 7. Arizona gets the ball, Cobb drops back, and man, he just cannot throw that out route. And the guy was not open. I don't know what he was seeing. The quarterback was all over it. It seemed like one of the basic, most simple reads. He did not come close to getting it right and just hit the defensive back right in the numbers for an interception. Come back the next drive, or I don't know, maybe there was a 3-and-out there somewhere. But he gets driven to the ground, and now his ribs are bruised up, or it's like a chest bruise.
That's almost a good thing for the Cardinals.
Yeah, and Skelton came in, looked real sharp. Even this Lindley guy, who they have from Arizona State, I thought he was looking. He looked like he could throw the ball, man, and he was a big, tall guy. He's making some decent reads. He overthrew a couple guys, but it looks like he at least has the arm and the pocket composure to play in the league. I mean, obviously you're playing against scrubs, but from what I saw of that Lindley dude, he actually seemed like a little bit of a player. Although, of course, they're driving down 17-10, going in for the tying touchdown, third down, third and goal at the 5, and he throws a pick. So already one preseason game in and already experienced the betting heartache. But Lindley didn't look that bad. But I think the most telling point, and I tweeted this out via our Twitter feed, @GamblingPodcast, I said, you want to know everything there is to know about the quarterback situation in Arizona, and it was Larry Fitzgerald hanging out by the sideline, yucking it up with John Skelton. And then and then like a separate shot is Kevin Cobb with the hat on and his shoulder pads off to the side.
Well, maybe Larry Fitzgerald isn't in a boar hunting in Texas with a knife.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of, I don't know where Larry Fitzgerald grew up, but I don't know a lot of brothers who are into boar fighting. Just gonna go out on that limb, Ryan. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Arizona might be okay if they go with Skelton. They'll have, they seem like they have some, I don't know, that, Virginia Tech running back that you pointed out. He seems like he's alright. They obviously have, Fitzgerald at the receiver position, that other top pick they got.
Michael Floyd.
Receiver. Michael Floyd from Notre Dame. And their defense was, serviceable. I mean, I think, again, they're kind of in a division where I expect to see San Francisco regress a little bit. I mean, they were talking about the Football Outsiders, and it sounded like they kind of hit some, like, crazy numbers as far as like turnover differential, luck statistics. A lot of this stuff made it seem like that this year by the 49ers was a little bit of an aberration.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, people forget that they won a couple games. You know, everyone talks, oh my God, they got jobbed on that punt return. But then they also won a couple games that they shouldn't have won off the punt return. I mean, they won that game against the Eagles. That was a come from behind thing that they could have easily lost that. Like, they had a lot of stuff go right for them that easily could have gone wrong. And, yeah, I just think the luck evens out a little bit for this year for the, 49ers. And, I don't think I think they're more like a 10-16 this year.
I believe I was reading in the Football Outsiders in the perspectives, that they were the luckiest team in the last like 15 years in the NFL. Something like that.
Yeah, and you got a feeling about that San Francisco team, and yeah, I mean, that's why, I don't know. They were an interesting team that did feel a little too good to be true. I don't know if Randy Moss is the best thing for this team as far as the, I mean, because it feels like Alex Smith the leader, but he's kind of not. And you got Vernon Davis, who always seems to kind of be a head case. I don't know if throwing Moss in there is necessarily the best thing to do. I mean, you got Crabtree, who's consistently kind of having problems. I don't know if I would have picked up Moss, but speaking of guys past their prime receivers, Seattle Seahawks picked up Terrell Owens for the league minimum, $900,000. But this is a Terrell Owens who's focused on football again, Ryan. That's what we don't understand.
I feel like he's always been focused on football. He was just kind of a half retarded.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a classic guy. Yeah, he is focused on football, but he also has like a crazy personality disorder that just makes him difficult to deal with.
But if he can still run a 4.45 like Ed Warder reported, then he'll be good to go.
Well, that's like him and Moss can still run the ball, but who's going to be able to hit that deep nine to these guys? Who's going to be able to hit that deep bomb to them and throw it, hit that nice back shoulder route when they're running past the cornerback? I don't know. I mean, he's not afraid to go over the middle, but is Tavares Jackson going to be able to make that throw?
Sounds like he's going to get cut or traded. And it's
Tavares.
Yeah, it sounds like third round pick Russell Wilson, undersized quarterback out of NC State and Wisconsin, is actually beating out Matt Flynn right now.
Now, that's crazy. I don't remember. Do you remember Matt Flynn's contract? It felt like he got paid.
Yeah, I feel like it was like a 3-year, $24 million type deal.
Yeah, but how does that dude not start then?
You know, who knows? Maybe he isn't that good in the, you know, he had one game.
But, yeah, he had one game where he had 500 yards, and it was, wow, 3-year, $26 million.
Yeah.
For Matt Flynn. That does seem to be a little overpaid for a backup, wouldn't you agree?
Especially when Tavares Jackson, like, is he really that much better than Tavares Jackson?
Tavares Jackson knew the offense. He's obviously have some comfortability. He won them a couple games. What is Tavares Jackson getting paid? $2 million a year?
I
something
feel like
that?
It's four.
Yeah, it can't be anything close to what Matt Flynn was getting. Well, God bless Matt Flynn. That's the thing with these quarterbacks. I mean, look at Kevin Cobb. You come around and have a couple good games at the right time, you'll get paid.
Yep.
All right, Ryan,
can we bust through these lines?
Yeah, let's go through these lines. Oh, real quick, you pointed this out. Elvis Dumervil will not be charged for his road rage incident. Basically, he came out of the... It sounded like there was some altercation. He came out. He pointed to a gun in his waistband. Was yelling at the other person. Cops stopped him. They asked if he had a gun. He said no. They searched the car. They found the gun. And he doesn't get charged.
Well,
it
was his friend's gun, Sean.
Oh, okay. So it's one of these things where, like, Snoop Dogg's tour bus gets busted for 9 pounds of pot and it's all one guy's weed?
Yeah.
Similar situation. All right, well, hey, I think it just shows the power of Peyton Manning. No one in Denver wants to screw this up. They got 41... They have 41,000 people showing up for a scrimmage, and I wouldn't be surprised if one of the DAs or cops that were supposed to testify in this trial were one of the 41,000 showing up at that stadium. I'm gonna say there could be a chance, Ryan. There could be a chance.
Yeah.
All right, let's hammer through these lines. Well, you already went out on your statement and already picked all the week one lines, but we'll go over and break them down anyway. So the professional football debut of RG3, Washington Redskins, going up against the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. Buffalo getting 2.5 right now, -110. Over-under at 35. Ryan, 35, still not tempting you, huh, for the over?
Under.
All right, under. All right, I'll take the – I like the Bills in the under. I'll stick with that.
Yeah. Actually, this line, the Redskins were underdogs earlier in the week, I believe.
Really? Now they turned favorites.
Yeah,
huh?
I don't know what happened.
Some late line movement in preseason football?
Yeah, they have some really, you know, some crazy undrafted free agents lighting up.
All right, so let's see. Continuing on here, the troubled New Orleans Saints kick off their season, or continue their season. I forgot they already played one game. They go against the New England Patriots. Saints are getting 3.5 in New England, over-under at 38.
Ooh, that's a tough under to take, but give me the under.
All right, I'll take the so you're sticking with the Saints, obviously.
Oh yeah, give me that hook.
All right, okay, I'm fine with these. I'm fine with the under and underdog. I'll go with the underdog and the under unless empirically stated. All right, we got the Battle of Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh Steelers heading into the Lincoln Financial Field, home of the Philadelphia Eagles. To add a pick 'em, Ryan. So obviously I'm gonna have to now you actually have to make a pick. So I'm gonna go with the Philadelphia Eagles. Unclear if they're gonna dedicate a preseason game to Garrett Reed, but the entire season is included in that. And I'm actually gonna take the over here, over 35 points. I think the Eagles light it up.
Yeah, I agree with you. Take the Eagles, no brainer. But I think it's an under. I think the Eagles defense is really deep this year. So, and the Steelers seem to be struggling.
I think that's what I feel best about the Eagles season going forward is that D'Amico Ryan's pickup. I think that's obviously what they were missing. And now everyone's talking that Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie can play the outside slot or the outside position. He doesn't have to play the slot where he kind of struggled at it. And this Curtis Marsh guy that they drafted is supposedly really stepping up to the point that he looks like he's going to be the starting nickel cornerback for him.
Nice.
So, yeah, and they got D'Amico Ryans plugging it up. Their D-line always pretty stout, so I feel a lot better about the Eagles this year. Obviously, they ended on a four-game win streak. We'll see if they can roll the momentum over. All right, the Baltimore Ravens, Battle of the Birds, heading into Atlanta to take on the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Lane, -1.5, over under 34. Definitely give me the Falcons, right? I'm gonna go against the underdog theory here. Falcons at home. Always like the Falcons at home. And I'll take the over.
Love the Ravens and the under. Ravens, look out for Ravens backup quarterback Tyrod Taylor to tear it up.
Tear it up by just moving the ball and not scoring.
No, they're going to score. The Falcons won't be doing too much scoring. I predict a 21-10 final score. Ravens win.
All right. Well, speaking of the Peyton Manning, the fighting Peyton Mannings, they went from the fighting Tebows to the fighting Peyton Mannings. The Denver Broncos debuting their new quarterback against the Chicago Bears in Chicago. Denver getting 3 points, over under at 35. Give me a Denver +3 here. Although you got to lay a little juice. It's a -130, but I still like Denver +3.
Yeah. Again, dog in the under.
Okay. Moving on. Tampa Bay Bucks.
Oh, Sean, you skipped the game.
Did I?
Yeah, Packers and Chargers.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Green Bay Packers getting a point against the San Diego Chargers. Or Green Bay Packers against San Diego Chargers. Green Bay 1-point dog. Gimme Green Bay all day. Over under 38.
Under.
Yeah, I like the under there. 38, I think, is my point here for these over-unders. Okay, Tampa Bay Bucks getting 2.5 against the Dolphins. Over under 33.5. Yeah, I'm going to take the over, and I'm actually kind of like the Dolphins here.
Yeah, I'm going to take I'm going to go opposite of you.
You still like the under?
Yep.
Now, Ryan, 31 points, are you taking an over?
Maybe. Maybe.
All right. Oh, wait, real quick. What do you think, we breezed over Chicago. What do you think of Chicago bringing in, Brandon Marshall?
Love it. I like them this year. I'm probably going to put a couple bucks on them to win the division.
Yeah, it feels like Detroit's going to regress out of those teams.
Yeah, and Green Bay feels like they peaked mid last season. Teams kind of figured them out.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I mean, they still have so much talent. It's hard to really go against them. But, I don't know. Chicago does seem like one of these teams that's kind of perpetually snake bitten.
They're more balanced, almost like, too. Green Bay had horrible defense last year.
Yeah. All right. The Philadelphia Eagles week one opponent, the Cleveland Browns, getting 3 points going up against the Detroit Lions in Detroit, over under 36.5. Love the under here at 36.5. And I actually like the Lions, -3.
Oh, give me the Browns. Colt McCoy is going to be playing for something in this game. I feel like he's going to help them along and they're going to win.
Yeah. Well, that strategy didn't help us out with the Cardinals because Kevin Cobb got hurt. And then so Skelton should have been going up against some of the 2 and 3s. Instead, you got these other guys.
It's true.
All right. New York Football Giants getting 2 points in Jacksonville against the Jags. Tom Coughlin's old team. I don't know if anyone's touched on that storyline yet. Over under 35.5. I like the under. And, yeah, I'll take the Giants getting two.
And good news coming out of New York, Terrell Thomas with a stretched ACL, not torn.
Oh, well, that's good for the, few Giants fans out there.
Yeah, look out for David Wilson in this game. He's been lighting it up.
Arizona Cardinals, we're just talking about them, going against the KC Chiefs, +2.5, over under 34.5. I'll take the over 34.5, but I like the Arizona Cardinals. Like we talked about, I think the couple of their backups, it's just going to be Skelton, and then Lindley, I think, is going to get a lot of reps. So I kind of like those guys. They look like they were able to throw the ball and get some movement. Give me Arizona.
I'll go Arizona on the under.
Minnesota Vikings getting 3 points in San Francisco. Over under 34.5. I'm going to have to go 49ers and the under.
I'll stick to the Vikings and the under.
Houston Texans, Ryan, your Houston Texans getting 2.5 points against my Carolina Panthers. Ooh. Over under 35.5. Ooh, my boy, Cam Newton, -2.5, all over that, even though he'll probably only be in for one drive. Still give me the Panthers, -2.5. And I like the under, 35.5.
Yep, under, and Jimmy Clausen's going to play a lot of snaps in this game, so give me the Texans.
That is true. And, yeah, you got, actually, you know what? Yeah, sorry, I'm going to retract it. I'm going to give me the Texans getting 2.5, because you're going to get, I think Chubb might get a play two series, and then their backup quarterbacks that they've had. Well, is Leinart still on the team? What's his status?
I don't know. I don't even know who the backup is, but they've always been good. So it's a good
system. Yeah, what's his name filled in for them last year and won some games?
Yeah, they got the rookie, T.J. Yates.
Yeah, T.J. Yates last year filled in pretty well, I thought. Tennessee Titans getting 3 points in Seattle, over under 36.5. I'll take the Titans here, +3, and the under, 36.
Yep, I agree.
St. Louis Rams, -1.5 against the Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck making his pro debut. Over under 34.5 points. Give me the under and the Rams.
Oh, I got to take the Colts. This is not good. All right. Under and the Colts.
All right, Dallas Cowboys, Ryan. Your Dallas Cowboys going up against the Oakland Raiders. Over under 35.5. I like that under. And
say,
give me the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, I'll I'll take the Cowboys in the under. You missed the game, Sean. Jets Bengals.
Did I?
Yeah, from Thursday or Friday night.
Oh, yep. Jets Bengals. Jets getting +1.5. Whew. Yep. I guess I'll go with the Jets there because they got Tebow. He just wins games. Over under 34.5, I'll take the under.
I feel like both teams will struggle to score points.
Yep. And then, we slowly drift into the week one NFL picks. Man, that Giants -3 looks pretty solid.
Yep. Still sitting at like -125 in the juice.
Wow. Yeah, there are some, interesting lines week one. I kind of like Bills +3.5 against the Jets week one.
Ooh, is that obviously that's in New York. I also like that.
What about these Redskins +9.5 in New Orleans?
Ooh.
I don't know. That's kind of a dangerous.
Yeah.
You don't want to I don't want to mess with the Saints at home week one.
Yeah.
You know, either way, I feel like they could be in serious FU mode. I don't know. That could be. As much as I think Redskins are going to rebound a little bit, maybe win 7 games, maybe 8 games. I don't know, man. I would not pick against the New Orleans Saints right now. All right, Ryan, you wanted to let's wrap things up here, but you also wanted to touch on the PGA Championship.
Well, we should make some picks, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So as always, I did a solid 15 minutes of research.
Nice. I do no research.
So far, that's gotten us, we've had a guy in the last couple groups in every major we've picked, including our win with Bubba Watson.
Yeah. And, who was it last time that we had?
It was the last Graham McDowell, who was in the final group.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, yeah, he had a nice chance. He, I mean, he blew it on the last nine holes, but he was pretty solid going into that. All right, Ryan, let's see. Let's take a look at the PGA Championship.
So I think we're going to, first guy I like, the odds aren't as great as they were a couple tournaments ago, but our man Jason Duffner at 20-1.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's been.
Duffner's 21?
20-1. He's been playing solid. If he just can hit some putts this time, he'll easily be he'll be around on Sunday. And
does he play with one of those long putters?
No, but he plays with a tin of Skol in his back pocket.
All right. Oh, yeah. I knew there was something.
Yeah, we like him.
I knew there was something I liked about him.
And then the second guy, I'm torn between Dustin Johnson at 15-1 and Hunter Mahan at 40-1. What do you think? I'll let you make the call on that one.
Dustin Johnson and Hunter Mahan. Huh. I don't really know. Honestly, don't know a ton about their games.
So Dustin Johnson is the guy who got in trouble for putting his wedge down in the sand at that course a couple years ago where it didn't look like a bunker, but they called it a bunker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he really got jabbed there.
Yeah, and Hunter Mahan's the guy who wears those weird visors or hats or whatever and like the weird sunglasses. He's in all the commercials.
Yeah, I don't like that guy. All right, give me Dustin Johnson. I don't like any guys who make statements with their outfits.
Yeah. Except for John Daly.
Yeah, but that's kind of the anti-statement. Just in general, if a guy's trying to prove something with his outfit or just the fact that he has something he calls an outfit, I don't care for it.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. Sounds good. Took care of business here. Moving forward. When are we gonna, what's the plan? We got a NFL over under podcast coming and yep. We have a NFL fantasy football podcast coming up. And of course, we'll keep you updated on all the training camp coverage, hard knocks, preseason picks, and, pretty much everything else.
Yeah. I'd say we do the two previews. I say we do the over-under one like a couple weeks and the fantasy one after that.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah, we'll do the fantasy one once everyone starts doing their drafts, which are, what, at the end of the month here?
Yeah, I'd say like, you know, probably maybe August, the week of August 27th, maybe before that.
Yeah, that last week before September. I think guys start drafting around September 1st now, it seems. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to the Sports Gambling Podcast. You can check us out at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You can follow all the games that we watch and pick and get our in-game commentary, up-to-date picks, line movements, all that kind of action at Gambling Podcast on Twitter, at Gambling Podcast. And next week, I'll be live tweeting the episode of Hard Knocks. So check that out and subscribe to us on iTunes. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, Stacking the Money Green, and he is my partner in picks, Ryan.
No nickname this week.
Let it ride.